Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be learning together Nehemiah Perek Zion, the seventh chapter of Nehemiah. This is by far the longest Perek in Nehemiah, but don't worry, it is a lot of territory that we've already covered in the book of Ezra. We'll see why in just a moment. It is 73 psukim long. Let's look at the first section, which is the narrative. We're told in the first three psukim about how Nehemiah fortifies Yerushalayim. He describes how once the walls are built, the doors are set up, and now the Levium are able to be the gatekeepers. He now describes how he makes a commander for the city. He takes Hanani, his brother, and Hananiah the Sar HaBira, the chief of the city, and he places him on Yerushalayim. Why? Because there's an Ish Emes, a man of truth, Yoreas Alakim, he fears God, Me Rabim, whether that means for many days or rather than many people. This makes a lot of sense why he's going to be the leader. And he makes an order that the gates of Yerushalayim should not be opened until Choyim HaShemesh, until the warmth of the sun in the morning. That means not just when the sun rises, but when it's warm enough. That means to say that the doors should not be open, the gates should not be accessible until there's a lot of people around, so to avoid an attack of the enemy at a time when they are more vulnerable. And he describes that even at such a time, there would be guards who would stand by the city gates to ensure whoever's coming in is justly so and whoever is leaving is justly so. Also, he arranged that Ish Neged Beisai, that there was guards all around the city, and he populated in such a way that people would be guarding in the area around their houses. So like he built the walls, there's a sophisticated system of organization as the protection of Yerushalayim. Who is this Hananiah, the Sar HaBira? So the Dat Mikra points out that this Vav in the Pasuk is actually a Vav HaMeforeshes. It is a Vav which explains, which means Hanani, his brother, who he met in the first parak, is the one who gives the message to Nehemiah in the first place about the news in Yerushalayim. Hanani is Hananiah. And to avoid us thinking that this is a case of nepotism where he's appointing his brother because he can, he explains the characteristics necessary for a person of such stature, and that's why he is giving Hanani / Hananiah this job. It's important also to remember that Nehemiah has been betrayed by so many people. There's been this fifth column of people who have this very happy relationship with Tovia, who is an outsider, that for Nehemiah to find somebody who he can trust, it's very hard to know anybody except for, as they say, blood is thicker than water. He knows that he can trust his brother in this case more than anybody else. And what is the role of this person, in the city? It seems that it's particularly a security job. So to ensure the security of the city, which some of the Mepharshim point out, allows the Levium to go back into the city, back into the Beis HaMikdash, to perform their job there, so they're not actually involved in the day-to-day grind in terms of the basics of the security of the city. Now, for the rest of the parak, from Pasuk Dalad onwards, we hear the following. We're told that the city is very wide open. Why? Because there are very few people there. Not so many houses are built in Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is not a very strongly populated area. So what he does is he says, I had an idea from Hashem, Vayitain Elokai El Libi. God placed an idea in my heart. You know, in English, we so arrogantly say, I had an idea, as if you thought about it. You know, you were in the shower and suddenly you thought about it. No, that's not how it works. In Yiddish, it's described as an Einfall. It fell in, right? This is a little more of a humble term. So he describes, Vayitain Elokai El Libi. God placed it in my heart. There was a great idea. Now I gathered all these chorim and skanim, I gathered all the people to find the Sefer HaYichus, Sefer HaYachas. He wants to find this book that relates people back to their family chains who came Varishona in the first wave of pioneering Aliyah, and he finds it and he now records it. So the rest of the parak from Pasuk Vav really to Ayin Gimel is a description of the lists of Kohanim and Yisraelim and the Levim and the Nesinim and all the different families, Miyuchasim, Mishanim, Miyuchasim, and their donations and the animals. All that was described, actually, when we learned Ezra Perek Beis. The list over there that Ezra describes, who came up at the times of Zerubbabel in the first, perhaps, second wave of Aliyah, are now listed again here. So just a few points to notice over here is, why is it that it's so important for Nehemiah to find the Sefer HaYichus, the Sefer HaYachas, as he calls it? So the Malbim explains that the situation on the ground, as we hear it, is that Yerushalayim was not populated. And that's because no one had felt safe in Jerusalem. There were raids, there were people taking advantage. It seems like some of the overlords who are Jewish were in cahoots with those folks on the outside, like Sanballat and Tovia. So there was not, it wasn't a safe place to be. So people simply are not populated. In order to do this, he wanted to create a lottery about who would dwell in Jerusalem. And to create a lottery, he needed a census. So he searches for the first census of the nation of Israel when they came up. The Rabbag said, now that he has secured the city, in order for it to remain secure, he needed to be a stronghold, he needed to be populated. And so the way to start this wasn't about necessarily a ma'aser, but he needed to sort of look at the people and say who he's going to send there to post them into the city, who is he going to assign to be living in the city in order to retain the security he's just finished accomplishing. Nehemiah doesn't do half a job, as we can see. Rav Schwab says perhaps it's on a more basic level that he wants the registration of those living in Yerushalayim. As you know, a census costs billions of dollars to perform in a country, but it actually saves many more billions of dollars because it ensures that the right services are going to the right people, the right security, the right healthcare services. In order to set up any basic form of society, you need to have a sense of who's there and their needs. So this is what's going on over here. Is this list the same as Ezra Perek Beis? And if it is not, why not? So the answer is it is not the same as Ezra Perek Beis for a number of minor discrepancies. The Da'at Mikra is very helpful in listing 29 differences in language. But these are, again, small differences like Nebuchadnezzar with a vav, without a vav, you know, Asher Bo'u as opposed to Habo'im, things like that, which really aren't major consequences. There are 8 differences in names listed. There are 7 omissions. And there are 19 discrepancies in the numbers, you know, an extra number here, a few hundred here. So how do we work this out? Why is this the case? Rashi explains that, he says it very clearly, he says, you know, sometimes the lists don't match up exactly. He says, you know what, the text isn't spending so much time focusing on all these numbers because really it relates to the same great number as well, the same accumulative number. Ralbag says, no, the reason why it's not the same is because it relates to those who had made Aliyah in between, in the interim, and those who had made Yeridah, those who had left Israel for whatever considerations. So this list that is being listed in Nehemiah is a later list, and it's reflecting the ideas of there being a certain sense of flow between those who had made Aliyah in the initial times of Zerubbabel or not. The way Ibn Ezra says is it's not about people making Aliyah or Yerida, it is in fact about people had died and people had been born in the interim. And what the lists over here, which is a later list, seems to be indicating that most of the families remained intact. Remember, this is a 36-year gap. According to the account of Chazal, we're talking about a 36-year gap, so a lot of things do happen. And the general point of this list is to show that in general, the populace who arrived, their families were intact, although they certainly could have grown as well. Rav Schwab points out that it could have been there were 2 separate lists written at the times of Zerubbabel, one written by Zerubbabel and one by another accountant, and Tanakh includes both of them with minor discrepancies in order to be able to for the two of them to fool each other out, or to when you compare the two to be able to have a fuller sense of the picture by Ezra Perek Beis and Nehemiah Perek Zion. What about the list of donors? There seems to be a few differences. One of them is that in this list, there is a new donor who is not recorded in the list in Ezra Perek Beis. And that is the huge donation of a person by the name of Tirshasa. Tirshasa gave to the Otsar, he gave, just to listen to this, 1,000 darkmonim of gold, right? So this is 1,000 drachmas of gold, 50 basins and with 530 priestly robes, right? Now that is a lot of money. That's an incredible sum of money, and it's important to know that in fact Tirshasa refers to Nehemiah, which means that in the list published in Ezra, for whatever reason, this huge donation was omitted. And it's important that Nehemiah is publishing this list also to underscore the fact that he is not simply a person seeking power. He's not simply a person seeking honor. He's a person who believed in this cause from day one. He was invested in it, and he invested a huge amount of his personal wealth into this pioneering, into this mission. Why is the list repeated? Why does Nehemiah go to the list to length to bring this whole list again? So Ibn Ezra says he wants to be able to connect those who came in the original Aliyah to those who are now here, who are in what he calls a mixture, where people where there is a complex reality on the ground. As we just saw in the previous perek, we saw that there are numerous people married out, even into the family of Tovia, who's this non-Jewish person who has a relationship with many of the powers, the barons of Jerusalem. And so in order to be able to delineate who the real true heritage is, he goes all the way back, which is why he repeats it now when trying to correct the problem of this intermarriage and assimilation in this fifth column. The Da'at Mikra does bring another two suggestions over here, which are also very beautiful. That is that similar to what we saw before, he's creating a tithe of people in Yerushalayim for jobs around the city. So in order to be able to know who he's going to assign to what post, he needs to know exactly who's there. And another option is also, it's simply repeated because of endearment. Meaning to say, Nehemiah realizes that as much as he did, it is all based on the shoulders of those who came first. Meaning to say, this group of 43,000 plus people who came at the times of Zerubbabel were the ones who, so to speak, drained the swamps. And it's important to recognize that his building came upon their hard work. Something to be thinking about today. Sometimes we're very dismissive of those pioneers who came to the state of Israel throughout the 1800s and the early 1900s. But it was on their shoulders, on their hard work and labor and their suffering, and going through many of the similar circumstances that we're seeing Nehemiah describing, that we are able to be in the situation that we are today on the level of Ishtadlus. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.